Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with the goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for hanging there. Looking forward to joining in the dialogue and discussion today. Let me remind you once again that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We're asking the question, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause for us to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, stop being silent, get out from under the bed, come out of the closet, and especially as Christian patriots, is there not a cause for us to say, we'll not close our churches, we'll not bow, we'll not bend? And looking at the scripture and seeing those that have gone before us and the position they have taken, will we not stand in this day in which we're living? Here's an article that says the LGBTQ activists urge Joe Biden to crack down on accreditation. That's, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that's a little tick for me. It's not accreditation, it's accreditation. Anytime I'm around anybody in the academic circles through the college and the university and they use the term accreditation, I know that they don't know what they're talking about because it's pronounced accreditation, not accreditation. But anyway, this article says LGBTQ activists urge Biden to crack down on accreditation standards for Christian universities. Seminary president calls it undisguised attempt to shutter all Christian schools, end quote. The Human Rights Campaign, a gay advocates group, released a 24-page list to Joe Biden's presidential administration, including reinterpretation of the Department of Education's regulations. The group said that the current interpretation of the Higher Education Act, Opportunity Act, would be interpreted to require accrediting bodies to accredit religious institutions that discriminate or do not meet the science-based curricula standards. This executive action would harm Christian universities, the president of one of these universities said. Dr. Albert Moeller, the president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, criticized the policy proposals and interpreted the reference to science as a reference to the leftist gender ideology, end quote. It is clear for all the world to see a human rights campaign summons the Joe Biden administration to deny accreditation, or at the very least to facilitate the denial of accreditation to all Christian universities, institutions, colleges, and for that matter, for any religious institution or school that does not meet the standard of the LGBTQ orthodoxy, that is the Sodomite orthodoxy, ladies and gentlemen. This would mean abandoning biblical standards for teaching, hiring, admissions, housing, student life, the curriculum, etc. It would mean that Christian schools would no longer be Christian schools, end quote. And you're willing to sit? Is there not a cause? If you're listening today, ladies and gentlemen, and you say, I can do nothing about it. I just need to be silent. Or if, God forbid, your pastor and your philosophy is, we don't need to say anything or do anything, let others do the battle for us, then you need to get another job. You need to sell cars. You need to get out there building buildings or doing something. You don't need to stand in that pulpit on Sunday mornings and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Grow a spine, as somebody said, put on big boy pants and obey the scripture and warn the church members of the dangers ahead. We can't bow. We can't bend, ladies and gentlemen. There is a cause, and that cause is the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The cause is the defense of the faith once delivered to the saints. The cause is to stand for the truth of the Word of God. That's the cause. There's some folks that's taking a stand. Here's an article. Illinois man refuses to close down his bar and restaurant. Now, I'm not advocating a bar. That's not the point. I'm reading the article. Illinois man refused to close down a bar and restaurant amid second shutdown despite Governor Pritzker's order. He says, we won't survive it. Mike Culligan, owner for 26 years of the Village Tavern and Grill in Carroll Stream, Illinois, says he refuses to shut his doors despite the Democratic governor, J.B. Pritzker's orders closing down dining amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Ladies and gentlemen, this man has taken a stand. He was interviewed by Tucker Carlson and others on television. He realizes they're going to come after him. In fact, one other restaurant owner in another state, I believe it was in New Jersey, that took the stand. And the governor now has sent the hounds after him. He's been inspected, investigated by 30 different agencies as a result of saying, I'll not close my restaurant. And this man is doing the same thing. In Tuesday morning interview with Fox, Culligan said that if he closes his business, he'll never be able to reopen. Quote, I didn't have a choice but to keep my doors open, he explained. For me, it was, if I close again, I won't be able to reopen at all. It was simple. It was a simple choice for me. 8.5 months ago, we were asked to close down for 2 weeks to help stop the curve. And there we are. Here we are, 8.5 months later, asked to close down once again. Further, he says, if we don't stay open, we can't ever reopen, he insisted. According to the recent report, the Wall Street Journal, Culligan also recently said, you pay my bills, you pay my taxes, you pay my employees, and I'll close. I'm not going to be the guy with a boarded up building because I follow someone else's science, as it would be called. Culligan recently told the Chicago Tribune that his personal attorney advised him that the government has no authority to shut down his indoor dining facility, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's something that's not been examined by most. They just simply say, well, the government says that we need to do it. I said from the very beginning, go back and listen to the blogs of this broadcast, and I've said for months and months and months now, if every church in America had refused to begin with saying, we're not closing, we're going to honor God, we're going to keep the doors open, there would not be any churches closed today. If every business, ladies and gentlemen, had simply said, we're not closing, you can't do that, we have constitutional liberties, we have the Bill of Rights, you can't close us down. There's never been a time in the history of America where the government has shut down free enterprise, shut down a business and said, you can't make a living and a livelihood for your family. Never been a time like that as we're facing today. Further, this article says he's speaking. Of course, it was a hard decision. But the way I look at it, if I close down, I have nothing. If I stay, I have an opportunity. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, why don't we as Christians take that position of that businessman? That we've got nothing to lose. We've got all to lose if we shut down. We've got all to lose if we bow and bend under the whims and the wishes of an absolute renegade government over us. And especially if Joe Biden goes into office, ladies and gentlemen, our nation will be destroyed. It will no longer be the nation that we know it as we know it today. It's an impossibility. The question is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Where are the patriot pastors who are willing to face the enemies of God and the enemies of the church and say we ought to obey God and not government? When it comes to religious liberties, where are the Christian conservative patriots today? That's my question. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917. You'd like to jump in, put in your 2 cents worth, feel free to do so. 831-0917. Love to have your dialogue and discussion today. I'm caused to remember Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, back in the 40s, Adolf Hitler, in a raging rule of Germany. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, it was Adolf Hitler that originated what is called the Poles. You have a survey and it's the Poles. The poll says that I'm ahead so far, et cetera, et cetera. His secretary, each morning, would present to him a fictitious, fabricated polls numbers that they had concocted. It would then be given to the controlled media. The media would absolutely, in verbatim, in lockstep, all media would simply say, Adolf Hitler is popular in Germany by 80%, 90%, 70%, whatever it would be for that day. That was the polls. It was fabricated. It was false. It was phony. And that's exactly what we have today, ladies and gentlemen. All polls are false, phony, fabricated, designed to manipulate the minds, the hearts, and the thinking of we the people. It originated with Adolf Hitler. But Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a Lutheran pastor, stood against Hitler. He stood openly against Hitler's promulgating and pushing and promoting the murder by way of abortion. He stood openly against Adolf Hitler's influencing the people in Germany. He stood openly against Adolf Hitler's attempt to destroy all the Jewish people in Germany. He stood against it, ladies and gentlemen. He stood alone. Other pastors refused to stand with him. They were fearful of their jobs. They're fearful of their pulpits, fearful of their futures. And so they simply went along to get along, as the old cliche goes even today. But Dietrich Bonhoeffer, you recall Bonhoeffer was executed by a firing squad because he took the stand against Hitler and Hitler's murder of the Jews and Hitler's stand in persecution of Christians. Remember the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 and 7? The Apostle Paul made a statement that should resonate with each and every one of us. The Apostle Paul says, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." But in that seventh verse of 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter, Paul says, "I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith." Ladies and gentlemen, that's a legacy that every Christian ought to strive to acquire. Realizing that the Christian life is a fight. Realizing that it takes courage to stand when all the world is going with the crowd. It takes courage to say, "No, I'm not wearing a mask. I'm not going to be forced to destroy my lungs and my health and my system simply because it is the prideful thing now. It is a pious look. Look at me. I'm wearing a mask. Look at me. I'm wanting to protect you. Look at me." Those same ones, ladies and gentlemen, will line up just as they line up to get tested. Looked at a aerial view of someplace here in our city and another city in the state of Florida, where they had hundreds and hundreds of cars just snaking all around the parking lot, waiting to get tested. Because after all, they said, we had celebrated Thanksgiving, and we don't know what we've received from our loved ones. We don't know if we've gotten the COVID, so we're going to get tested. And ladies and gentlemen, not realizing that if you have COVID-19, that 19 indicates there are 18 other strains of COVID. And if you trace it back, you can talk with any medical physician, any medical doctor, anyone in the medical field. The common cold is the same pathogen, it's the same pathogen as COVID-19. And so if you've had a common cold or if you've had a touch of a cold, you could easily test positive. We are having more tests, therefore we're having more positive cases, therefore we're having more people that say, you know, I've got the COVID, I've got to stay home. At first, CDC said it was had to be quarantined for a month, and then it was 14 days. Now they're saying it's 7 days. The science always changes, you see, ladies and gentlemen. But the point is that we have the Apostle Paul saying, "I fought a good fight." It's not easy. It's a fight. As we take a stand for truth, as we take a stand for the Word of God, we're going against the stream in society because society is, and everything society believes and does is antithetical to morals and ethics and values and truth and the Christian faith. And that's what we see, ladies and gentlemen, taking place around the world today. May I remind us Where are the believers today, the Christians, the conservatives, the patriots, that will openly say no to the socialist Marxist BLM Democratic Party and the political agenda of the Biden-Harris administration that is proposed? Ladies and gentlemen, there needs to be more that will say, no, I'm not going to bow. It is amazing to me the number that will simply bow. May I ask some questions? If we don't stand up now, then when? If we don't defend our Bill of Rights now, then when? If we continue to disobey God, and if we don't obey God's word now, when will we obey it? If we continue to submit to the ever-changing rules and executive orders and the mask mandates and the soon-coming forced vaccinations, when will we wake up, stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, and try to understand that our Bill of Rights have already been canceled? That might sound doom and gloom. It's not meant to. It's factual. We're watching the fast track of the destruction of the Constitutional Republic and the foundation upon which America has been built, and our stand for truth and our stand with Israel and our stand for God and our stand for what God says that we ought to do in preaching and teaching the Word of God, and the mandate not to be fearful. Here's an article that says heartbreaking. Listen to what's coming to America. This is across the border in Canada, but it's already here. Heartbreaking. Police block cars. That's B-L-O-C-K. Block means to stop, to cart or off. Blocks cars from attending drive-in, not attending in-house service, but attending. They're blocking the cars from attending drive-in church services. Police blocked congregants from attending a drive-in church service at church in the rural Manitoba, Canada on Sunday morning. As depicted in Facebook video, police blocked cars from entering the parking lot of the Church of God at Stenbeck, forcing them to line up on the adjacent street to listen to the senior pastor preach over a loudspeaker, according to the Christian Post. Quote, God has given us the right to worship him together, and he wants to see his people united. Hildebrandt, that's the pastor, Hildebrandt, preached. It seems like we're living in a different Canada. It's very heartbreaking to me to see the condition of our nation. He's speaking about Canada. The Church of God at Steinbach, that's Steinbach, which is about 40 miles southeast of Winnipeg, Manitoba, was fined $5,000 last week for holding services in defiance of what the pastor describes as a draconian and unconstitutional order. In an open letter published November the 23rd, the pastor wrote these words. Listen to what this dear pastor said. Ladies and gentlemen, bear with me for a moment. It's worth your listening. The COVID-19 crisis has rapidly changed a lot of what our society normal and essential in 2020. Faith communities have not been unaffected. In fact, they have been singled out in many cases across the world, and especially in Canada, listen, and certain states south of the border, speaking of America. The Bible teaches Christians to be good citizens and obey reasonable demands of our government. It does not, however, teach blind obedience to authorities when onerous restrictions are placed on our freedoms. In fact, we're guaranteed the right of religious freedom and peaceful assembly in the Canadian Constitution, subject only to such reasonable limits prescribed by law as can be demonstrably justified in a free and democratic society. We now find ourselves debating what constitutes a justifiable and reasonable limit. Final paragraph, he says. The question is, what is essential? Is faith and the command expressing our faith not essential during times of crisis? Is this an attack on our faith? We are not asking for special treatment, just equal treatment. Christians have always believed that their faith and the reasonable expression of the faith is essential to their mental health and well-being, and that being arbitrarily separated from each other is detrimental to them. On Sunday morning, people in their province interacted at Walmart, Costco, and other retailers. The same thing happened at local liquor stores, cannabis dispensaries. I call them pot shops. And the list goes on and on and on, this pastor writes. Yet, it is our faith community that is singled out for public criticism, media attention, and the visit by the RCMP, Manitoba Police Health and Local Law Enforcement, bylaw and law enforcement agencies. There must be an allowable expression of our faith that is deemed essential while we are allowing the sale of products and the establishments that exist solely for the sale of alcohol, coffee, donuts, cannabis, and fast food. We are grateful to our law enforcement officers for their dedication to public service, especially during a crisis. We urge them to continue resisting the enforcement of these draconian and unconstitutional orders, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's heartbreaking to me also. But yet we see that in America today, where there is a laxity and a sense that there is not a cause. There is the cause, and that cause is to stand. Ladies and gentlemen, the ever-changing executive orders and rules and regulations that forces the churches to remain closed, and eventually forcing the mask to be worn and future forcing of the vaccinations. When will we wake up and realize that our Bill of Rights have been canceled and realize the dangers that we live in even today? Here's an article. Swing state legislators. We're living in historic times, and I'm afraid many in our country cannot understand this fact of the long-term implications of this corrupt election. We're witnessing a coup against a sitting U.S. president by both domestic and international actors through a well-planned theft of this election. This is a constitutional crisis that our country has not seen since the southern states left the Union to form a confederacy. We haven't seen an election crisis on this level since 1824, when John Quincy Adams and Henry Clay wrestled the presidency away from the electoral vote leader, Andrew Jackson. However, that crisis arose from a political coalition, not massive voter fraud during the election process as we find today. Because President Trump's margin of victory was so large, the deep state operatives were forced to make huge last-minute vote dumps to Joe Biden in the last hour of election night, followed by design algorithm dumps. The deep state engineered the coup by their Democratic operatives was in your face. It was so unprecedented in American election history. This was seen in the largest swing states, cities where Democratic election officials and workers flaunted their left. And it goes on to talk about the pathway of five different potentials for the election to be regained and the success to be given, as it should be, to President Trump. But he says here, of all the five scenarios, the best and most effective remedy would be first to correct the vote by an actual audit. And then this writer says, courage. Republican politicians have traditionally been very timid and lack the courage to rise above the prevailing trait of cowardice. The cowardice of our Republican legislators is what Solzhenitsyn spoke of in his famous 1978 Harvard University commencement speech. Quote, a decline in courage may be the most striking feature which an outside observer notices in the West in our days. The Western world has lost the civil courage, both as a whole and separately in each country, each government, and each political party, and of course in the United States of America. Solzhenitsyn so accurately described the prevailing moral breakdown within the political leadership of the West. 42 years later, fate has put the focus on a handful of legislators who have the duty and opportunity to change our destiny in America. And then he quotes, C.S. Lewis said, courage is not simply one of the virtues, but the form of every virtue at the testing point. Winston Churchill said, without courage, all other virtues lose their meaning completely. This writer says, in conclusion, there are critical times when circumstances give men an authority an opportunity to make a difference and change history. The greatest thing we can leave behind is the testimony of our lives as we have lived them, our reputation, and our character that our children and their children will follow after we have gone, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about, is there not a cause? I believe there's a cause that should motivate and mandate every Christian to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. Ladies and gentlemen, if Joe Biden goes in office, it won't be because he won the election. If Joe Biden goes in, if he's sworn into the Oval Office, he will only be a usurper of the Oval Office and not president. He will be the usurper of the throne, if you will. It is because of the Dominion software, the Dominion voter election equipment. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you've not heard the news, as of December the 1st, 12:15, yesterday, China bought, that is the Chinese Communist Republic, China bought Dominion software and hardware yesterday. I'm sorry, it was in October, not yesterday, but it was reported yesterday. Staple Street Capital, the third LLP, sold $400 million in securities to the UBS Securities. By the way, UBS Securities is a Chinese investment bank controlled by the Chinese Communist Party in China. This article says Staple Street Capital is the New York-based private equity firm that acquired Dominion Voting Systems in July of 2018. Dominion Voting Systems used in 28 states as of November the 3rd for the vote. That's right. It looks like the Chinese ran our election, at least in a lot of the places. Do not concede, Mr. President, this writer says in that article. Ladies and gentlemen, our gun rights are at stake. Our rights to worship are at stake. If we do not stand up, speak up now. Here's an article talking about the Chinese government telling churches to worship the Communist Party or be closed. Perhaps you say that's China, it's not America. It's a harbinger of things to come for America. This article says, in its continuing efforts to remove Christianity from the country, the Chinese government is turning churches into propaganda centers for the regime. Religious material classified as contraband as persecution of Chinese Christian Party continues. Chinese Christian booksellers are given 7 years in prison, and authorities then track down the buyers. Religious persecution in China Communist Party intensifies. Christians say, we won't agree to these regulations and requirements at all. Ladies and gentlemen, they're making that statement even in the face of being imprisoned and put to death. The Chinese Christians are saying, we won't bow, we won't bend. We'd rather face the executor and be with Jesus Christ than to take a bow and bend. And I challenge us today, ladies and gentlemen, in closing, is there not a cause? And I say, yes, there is. There's an enormous cause, and that cause is for the future of America, the future of our children, the future of our churches, the future of Christianity, the future of our Bill of Rights. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time as, once again, we face the issues.
Located 1/2 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.